Based on what we've been learning, including this Boost study, what is the individual hospitalist's responsibility? What should be their accountability to make the care transitions out of the hospital the best they can possibly be?
I think most hospitalists still bristle when, at the first thought of readmissions and interpreting the readmission penalty program as laying blame squarely on the discharging physician. And certainly that is just not the case. And even CMS, obviously I cannot speak for them, but from a conceptual standpoint, I don't know any policymaker who would lay blame on an individual physician for readmission rates. I think the field, including the policymakers, have moved very quickly over the past 4 or 5 years into understanding that this is a multidisciplinary, inpatient, outpatient, transitional type of a phenomenon. And so my first message to my colleagues who are hospitalists, myself included, is let's stop putting up the reaction of being concerned that this is going to come down on an individual blame situation, and rather look at our role in the hospital as needing to, at the very least, be a good and responsive member of the multidisciplinary team, many of whom are trying to gather the information they need to put in place a safe and comprehensive discharge plan and transitional care plan. And so at the very least, let us be responsive to those requests and, even better, highly participatory in the problem solving for patients. Number two is that we really do have an opportunity for those hospitalists who are also attending physicians and managing house staff teams, or even physician extenders who are doing some part of the admission or discharge process on our behalf. We have an obligation and responsibility to make sure that we're passing along what we know to be best practice and standard of care in terms of timely communication with PCPs when people come into the hospital and when our patients leave the hospital, making sure that we are making plans to ensure that tests get followed up on, PCPs understand what the major issues and changes in the plan of care were during the hospitalization, et cetera. And so I think that very directly, we manage either house staff or extenders, and we have an obligation to make sure that the best practices we're aware of are translating to our extenders. And then number three would be to make sure that we're doing up our part, not only in participating in a multidisciplinary transitional care plan, but in communicating with and educating our patients. A lot of education in the hospital does fall to nursing. It's a great and important role that nursing plays. But what we're learning now in our efforts to use TeachBack as a new standard of care to make sure that we're not just pushing a bunch of information to our patients, but rather tailoring and simplifying the 4 or 5 messages that patients need to know when they leave the hospital in order to manage their care over the next couple of days. I think the physician needs to be a part of helping the rest of the team, whether it's the residents or the nurses or the extenders, know what are the major teaching points for this particular patient. And we all know, people don't walk around as just a COPD patient or just a heart failure patient. They often have both and numerous, and the symptoms are overlapping. And so the role that we as the physicians can play is to really tailor what are those self-management topics that people need to know and help the rest of our teams who might actually deliver that education target it well.
And so TeachBack, you're suggesting it's not just a, you know, an interesting new technique, but it really needs to become standard practice using TeachBack or something like it.
It absolutely does. And Boost very clearly teaches and encourages teams to use TeachBack. So does the STAR Initiative and the Institute for Healthcare Improvement. So I've got 2 recommendations for the hospitalist. One doesn't appear in Boost at all, and it is executing warm handoffs from hospital to the skilled nursing environment. As to my earlier point, where it may be harder to reduce lower readmission rates, nationally, readmission rates from skilled nursing facilities are in the upper 20s, maybe even 30%. It's go where the opportunity is, and let's get those readmissions from the skilled nursing facility down.
And there's a cultural issue here, too, because the SNFs have almost been incentivized in the past to take the difficult cases and send them back to the hospital.
That's right. There's numerous mixed incentives. Oftentimes, especially with malpractice and patient requests and things like this, it's the clearest and easiest path forward when a symptom arises to send the patient to the emergency room for evaluation. Heretofore, nobody would ever question that. Nobody would ever see that as anything problematic.
Even if it became a revolving door phenomenon.
A huge revolving door phenomenon. And now we have a big problem. And then I think the single greatest recommendation that the STAR Initiative and the best experience that I've had over the past 5 years doing this work is forming cross-continuum teams where literally hospitalists and floor nurses and accepting nurses and nurse managers on the floors of nursing homes talk about what they need to know, how they need to know it, what they're missing, what went wrong with this particular transition for this particular patient, how we can improve our general processes in order to mitigate what went wrong this time. And I am seeing great, specific, tractionable improvement made from SNF to, from hospital to SNF. So I would say number one is invest in your hospital to SNF transition, form a cross-continuum team, execute warm handoffs, get that right. That is that highly hospitalist dependent, and I think it's a great opportunity to demonstrate to the hospital that the hospitalist can really lead and get some measurable traction in this particular area. There's a professional decorum, I think, that a lot of us have lost as we've become divorced across the continuum. Whereas if we know, at least theoretically and as a colleague, that we're handing a patient over to a colleague in a skilled nursing facility, they need to be able to get back to us, ask questions, clarify, ask, I see a CT scan was normal, what were you looking for? That collegial interaction that happens every day among professionals in the hospital, and it happens so often among professionals in the outpatient setting, we just haven't set up the mechanism for it to happen from the acute to post-acute setting. So I really have seen that flourish as a higher sense of professional decorum and responsibility to each other in terms of how we execute a handoff between these two care settings. And then the second biggest piece of advice I would say is to remember the front door. So Booth and Red and Star and Coleman and Naylor have actually focused us exclusively on leaving the hospital. Well, readmissions can't happen if someone hits the emergency room and we can triage and manage and avoid an admission in the first place. And so I'm seeing a lot of leading edge hospitals and hospitalist groups start to take on the front door as perhaps the new high leverage opportunity. So when we as hospitalists get called to make an admission to the hospital, we still do have the opportunity to assess and evaluate and maybe reformulate whether or not the patient does or does not need to come into the hospital. And this involves obviously buy-in from the administration and really good new types of collaboration with our emergency department colleagues. And when we have that opportunity, I actually personally just did this as a test about 2 months ago. I had a patient who bounced back from a SNF. The ED doc wasn't quite sure why. The patient herself wasn't able to speak for herself. And so the assumption was something went wrong in the SNF, don't know what it is, but she's here and she needs to be admitted. And I came down and made some phone calls and looked into the situation, and it turns out that the patient's family really, their heart was breaking that mom was back in the hospital. They hoped that she didn't have to be there very long. I said, I don't see anything clinically that's urgent. Would you like me to send her back to the nursing facility? And it was, the answer they were looking for was, yes, please send her back if there's nothing wrong. And I think so often we assume that people expect or want to be admitted. If we can start doing that extra effort to say, is this the right thing for the patient? Does she really need to be admitted, or can we make a different plan? I think more patients than we expect actually would welcome that. And if we support our ED colleagues in that process of trying to decide if someone can really be discharged, I think that we could open up new areas of opportunity for avoiding readmissions through the front door. I have internalized a lot of these principles into my own personal accountability. I have to be sure my hospital provides me some external incentives around best practice in terms of communicating with PCPs and making sure that discharge summaries are complete in a systematic and standardized and timely way. But the story I just shared with you about seeking out the opportunity to not escalate care and to reorient a plan that doesn't always include acute care hospitalization is something that I really have absorbed, I think, into my practice over the past several years. And it doesn't mean I can solve every particular situation every single time, but I do look for those opportunities, especially in the emergency room, where we can have a double check on whether or not this patient really does need to be admitted and whether or not there's any meaningful clinical work to do upstairs, if you will, as opposed to really the social work and case management work that might need to be done in order to get the patient home. And I find myself just personally spending a lot of time on trying to make sure that when we're admitting people, they really do need to be admitted. And if they don't need to be admitted, taking the extra effort to do the coordination in the ED to try to facilitate that.